Welcome to the Voices from the Frontline segment on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. My name is Damon Azali, and I'm here with my co-host, Manuel Criollo. Today we're going to be taking a special look at black people in Los Angeles. We're going to begin the show with Elise Buick, who's the president and CEO of the United Way of Greater Los Angeles, who along with the Los Angeles Urban League co-commissioned a recent study on the state of black Los Angeles. Secondly, we'll be talking to Otis Cavers, a contributing writer to the progressive black journal Our Weekly. People should check this out if they haven't checked it out already. Otis writes on a variety of issues facing the black community. Today, we will focus on black people's relation to the criminal justice system and as well as the economy in the black community. And thirdly, we will have Luis Carrillo. Folks, my Spanish is way better this weekend, I got to tell you, than it is right now. He's a lawyer for Susie Peña and Susie Lopez, hyphenated name, his family. And this was the 19-month-year-old girl who was recently killed by LAPD on July 10th. Luis will speak to us about the case and about the history of police brutality here in Los Angeles and nationwide on black and Latino communities. So we will be right back with Elise Buick. Something's holding me back. Is this because I'm black? So we are back here at Voices from the Frontline segment. We're on the phone with Elise Buick, who is the president and CEO of the United Way. Elise, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So I have this huge chart in front of me that just basically tells me that, like, my people are just hurting. Why don't you first talk about what the actual report is trying to say? Is it trying to compare? Is it trying to compare within the black community to other communities, et cetera?
Sure. We are using what we call an equality index, and this was really introduced by the National Urban League by Marc Morial, who's been president there for 2 years. And his vision was that we could begin to use objective indicators that really can track progress in gaining equality over time. And so it was the desire of the Los Angeles Urban League to take that down to a local level, and the United Way and the Urban League partner together to look at this. And the national index has been looking at black-white, but when we brought it to Los Angeles, we felt it was important to track in all four of the major ethnic groups.
So the index is broken down into about, I think, seven categories, from economic, housing, health, criminal justice, education, and civic engagement. I thought that we would start kind of from the top, and then maybe, like, for each section, there were some interesting things that you thought were really important to share. I have a couple here, too, that
okay.
Maybe you can start. So let's start with the economic index. What is either surprising or not so surprising in relation to black folks compared to the other groups? And just for our listeners, the other groups are white, Latino, and Asian.
Well, one thing that struck us as we were looking at the data is that blacks have the lowest median household income, and that was surprising. We actually thought it would be a little higher. The other thing, and we brought together kind of a leadership panel to look at some of these statistics, and I know one thing that struck them was they thought the business ownership statistic, which there's about 38,000 black-owned businesses in the county, they thought that would be higher because there's been a real push with the financial institutions to try to look at how they're putting lending out into the community. So I think those were the two that really popped up for us.
So, and then in terms of the median family income, in terms of that, blacks were at $37,000 a year. Whites, as the highest, were $69,000 a year. The other thing in here that is interesting in terms of this category is persons below the poverty level. And how that plays out on the chart is basically Asian is at 13.9%. Small difference between those two at 24% also. And then white is 8.5%. So this is kind of just an interesting thing in terms of a lot of the indices, both black and Latino,
right,
are very like neck and neck, side by side.
They are, and I think that's why an report like this is important, though, because you do see some of these statistics rolling up at the top level, but when we get underneath it, you may have seen the statistic about unemployment is more than double the rate for African Americans, and the whole notion of unemployment and underemployment is something I think we have to really look at in terms of the African American community.
And what is that statistic in terms of blacks in LA right now?
African Americans about 14%, so that's more than double the rate for whites and Asians, and then Latinos are between the two. I think what troubles us, though, is it's been a long-standing pattern in LA that we haven't really been able to move the needle on.
Okay. So going to the – well, actually, before we go there, why don't we give out the website so where people can actually assess or how they can get a hold of this report?
Sure. It's www.unitedwayla.org. And we have an executive summary, and then we have the full detail there as well.
Okay. So the next one down, we talk about I guess the next would be housing index. And so there's a bunch of things in here that I thought were interesting. One was the percent of income spent on rent. So when we were the other day, when we were at the MTA board and really talking about the bus riders who are on the bus and how 60% of them have a family income that's less than $12,000 a year, and looking at, you know, basically just most of their income is mm-hmm. being spent on housing, and then transportation was up there, and then you don't even have room for health care.
I know.
So in terms of the percentage spent on rent, you have Asian at 28%, black is 31%, Latino is 29%, and then white is 27%. And also, I guess, within that, too, the one that totally sticks out is children living with a mother only.
Right.
So everybody's pretty flat, and then until you get to the black folks. So Asians at 10%, Latinos at 16%, 13% for whites, and then you have 41, almost 42% in terms of black. So how do you – I mean, this is kind of an interesting thing, is like we're basically putting out what the actual state, what it looks like on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things that you guys have been talking about on the kind of the end objectives in terms of, you know, what's the plan? Is there a plan that is proposed in terms of getting some of these more on a level basis with some of the other groups that are scoring higher?
Well, you may have seen in the report, there is an action agenda that we are looking at. How do we start to move the needle on some of these issues? You know, we did a launch with some key community leaders, and I think for some of the folks there, they felt like that a sense of deja vu, that these statistics are not moving. I think the thing that we have to remember, though, is, you know, the economy and the world has changed quite a bit. We're now in a 21st century environment, so it makes these statistics in some ways, we've made progress, but now the world has changed on us, if you will. We aren't able to find a good blue-collar jobs where you could sustain a family and you could afford your housing. And so that was one of the things that we really wanted to make sure was captured in the report, is I think to move the needle in LA County, these issues are all interrelated, and I think there has been some silo mentality about how we approach these things. Clearly, if we can get education, more students graduating out of LAUSD, going to college, getting jobs, you know, there's just a whole domino effect about they can afford housing, and those things start to, we make progress that way. So really, what we're trying to look at is how do these things intersect with each other so that we can have movement and that we're not treating them as an isolated issue area.
How does this relate in terms of kind of, I mean, you spoke slightly, you hinted at it in terms of kind of the international situation and what is happening in terms of spending for so the social safety net and social welfare and healthcare and whatnot. How has that had an effect in terms of, because you were saying how the needle is kind of the same, they're long enduring mm-hmm. problems. Does that have an extra sharper effect now that we're spending money in the war and cutting schooling and healthcare, et cetera?
Well, clearly the nonprofit sector feels that as we're trying to turn some of these things around. But I think what we're also hearing is I go out there, I do meet with a lot of corporations, and they don't have people that they can hire. And they're worried about having an educated workforce down the road. And so to your point, I think now you're going to see more private sector investments starting to come in. And that's probably what we need. You know, to move these things forward, it can't just be the public sector. It has to be the public sector and the private sector and the nonprofit sector and the unions. And it's all of us kind of working together to move these things forward. And I think with LA, we face, you know, ethnic diversity and geographic diversity. So we definitely, and we have more diversity here than anywhere else. So we do have some huge challenges to overcome. But I think what we see is when we can kind of get in line on a strategy, and we started to see some movement there in education, it's benefiting children of multiple ethnicities that we're able to influence policy and spending and really have it move in a positive direction.
We're on the phone with Elise Buick, President and CEO of the United Way of Greater Los Angeles. Elise, you know, my question is, one of the things in reading a lot of the articles describing the report, talking a lot, you know, we're about to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the Watts Rebellion, mm-hmm. and in many ways the indicators haven't really gone up that much different. We're also 13 years behind the 1992 rebellion, when at that time many forces, particularly a lot of corporate forces, came together and say, we have the plan for South Los Angeles. You know, what we really need is, you know, have a sort of more corporate-friendly environment in South Los Angeles, you know, more market investment, you know, get rid of certain environmental regulations through, you know, throughout South LA to make it more easier for corporations to come in, or even free tag zones, you know, and getting those types of incentives. But, you know, 13 years later, we can say to a certain degree that has been pretty much an utter failure. What do you think it will take, given that for years, you know, I guess, you know, if we look at the McComb Commission, I'm assuming a lot of the numbers that we saw, that the McComb Commission was the commission that came out, report that came out right after the rebellions in 1965. What will it take really here to really begin to address this fundamentally? Because on some level, we've been at this road many times before.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of our moderator at the event was Dr. Frank Gilliam from UCLA, and his comment was, you know, that he wasn't surprised to see the data, and he actually thought that some of the solutions you know, we've talked about before, and so he said the same thing as you. You know, what is it going to take to change this? And he really likens it to us having a groundswell of public will to make it happen. And, you know, I think what strikes me is there's a lot of new leadership in L.A. County. We have a new mayor. You know, I've been at the helm of the United Way for 3 months. The Urban League, John Mack is retiring. There's a new head of the California Community Foundation. You see a different level of leadership that is coming up through the ranks now, and we're trying to work together in different ways. I mean, you hear the word collaboration used a lot, but as I was referencing earlier, and to your point, it's not just going in at a, you know, point in time, just putting an infusion of money into, you know, a certain neighborhood. It's really how are we mobilizing what's coming out of the government in terms of those resources? How are we aligning the nonprofit sector, the foundation sectors, the business community, and really coming up with more holistic solutions? If you look at some of the areas that we showcased, I mean, one of was, you know, Concerned Citizens of South Central LA, and they really have kind of a comprehensive model that looks at low-cost housing and has an after-school nanny program and college students as mentors and job referral and recycling. And, you know, I mean, I think that that's where we start to see you've got to really surround these issues with a comprehensive solution, and I think it's only by us all coming together that that's going to happen.
So we're speaking with Elise Buick, President and CEO of the United Way. I guess we have a couple more minutes, and I think that would be good kind of segue to our next person that we're having on the phone, which is going to be talking a little bit about three strikes.
Uh-huh.
So I was wondering if you can speak a little bit to the stuff around the Criminal Justice Index.
Absolutely. We actually had some great new data with the release of this report, Dr. Michael Stoll from UCLA. And, you know, you will note, I mean, I for one, was very disturbed that we see much longer prison sentences for African Americans. We've seen an uptick in racial hate crimes against blacks.
Can you actually say some of the numbers?
Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
More.
yes. For blacks, the average sentence for a violent offense is 46 months compared to 39 months for Latinos and only 13 months for whites. And then even though blacks are just 10% of the population, 56% of racial hate crimes are targeted toward blacks. The other thing that we found quite striking was that blacks and Latinos are searched by the LAPD four times more often, but only 38% of blacks have illegal items compared to 65% for Latinos and 55% for whites. So clearly, those are some very troubling patterns we see. I know I speak for John Mack as well. I mean, we have seen some progress under Chief Bratton's leadership, but we all know these are some pretty entrenched issues that we're dealing with. But I do think it's good to have the statistical information, because I know there's been some anecdotal information, but now with Dr. Stoll's data, we really do have some concrete benchmarks to hold people accountable to.
And that really actually speaks to, I mean, the whole idea of racial profiling.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I mean, if people are being stopped four times as much and they have, you know, a less rate of actually having, you know, something that is considered illegal at this particular point, then it's kind of like in your face.
Yep. That's why the data is important, and that's why I think indexes and reports of this that show a snapshot of time and give us those concrete facts are very important in terms of accountability.
So, Elise, why don't you give us one more time the website and any contact information that you would have for
us? Okay, great. People can access the report at www.unitedwayla.org, and they can also call the Urban League for copies of the report at 323-299-9660.
Great. So thank you so much, Elise. And we'll be right back with Otis Cavers talking about three strikes and the black economy.
Thank you. So many empty spoken in on black people extermination. We keep in balance with the knowledge of self-determination. It's hot, we be blowing the spots with conversations. Come on, let's smooth it out like soul cessation. We in the house like Japanese in Japan.